Well, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone. And friend, I believe in being honest about the truth of God's Word, and so that's the reason I tell it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. Friend, I have to stand someday before Jesus Christ, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm quite aware of the fact that most people today don't like to hear the truth. And it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you. And it's your soul that must exist in either one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you're not saved and you've never been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, then according to God, not according to me, but according to God in whose hand your breath is, you'll spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And furthermore, friend, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's word today and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son, Thine unspeakable gift. And Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today, and we trust, our God, that Thy Holy Spirit might accompany the word and bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who are tuned our way, who've never been saved or born again. May it please Thee, our God, to pluck them as brands from the burning, save them before it's eternally too late, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune that I'm sure is known to all of you listening in, and it's the well-known favorite, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was raised that caused my and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appeared the hour I first believed. When we've been shining as the sun, with no less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun. His grace will
I sure thank God today for His amazing grace. Yes, it was grace alone that saved my soul back on June the 2nd of 1952. And I thank God, too, for having extended His day of grace so that others might come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Now then, if you'd care to follow me in the Bible, I'll be using as my text for today a verse of Scripture as we find it in the prophecy by Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, these are days when people are unusually careful concerning the purchase of non-essential commodities. And the reason for this existing condition is the fact that the laws of supply and demand have finally caught up with one another, thus bringing about the present state of economic uncertainty. Now, since there is a definite unsettled trend in business these days, it's quite obvious that salesmanship is increasingly vital if purchasing power is to receive the necessary stimulation. And that's the reason that radio, television, and newspaper advertising is reaching a level of unequaled claims and promise of value. Yes, everywhere you look today, whether it's billboards, TV, or newspapers, each dispenser of service or merchandise is making a fantastic claim in a frantic effort to energize the purchasing power of the general public. Well, friend, listen. Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit and Word of God, I am offering you, through the Word of God, the best bargain you could possibly have. And this bargain is eternal life through faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God is offering you deliverance from sin. He's offering you deliverance from hell. He's offering you deliverance from the power of Satan. He's offering you the eternal glories of heaven. And listen to this, sinner friend. This wonderful bargain is completely without money, without price, without works, without waiting, and without worry. Ah, friend, you've never heard of a bargain like this before. So whether you're riding along in an automobile or just sitting in the comfort of your home, why not just sit back and relax while we listen to what God has to say concerning this wonderful bargain, eternal life. Now, friends, the first fact I want you to notice about this bargain is that it can be had without money. That's right. Not one penny is required in order to receive eternal life. After all, it wouldn't be fair if salvation were only for the wealthy, because in that case, there wouldn't be any poor people in heaven. But friend, God tells us in Romans 2 and verse 11 that he is no respecter of persons, and therefore he looks upon the rich and the poor alike insofar as salvation is concerned. Over in the book of Job chapter 34 and verse 19, we read that God does not regard the rich more than the poor. And the reason for that is found in another scripture, Proverbs 11 and verse 4, which tells us that riches profit nothing in the day of wrath. No, friends, whether you're rich or poor, old or young, white or black, Catholic, Protestant or Jew, the bargain which God is offering to you today is absolutely without money. And furthermore, you couldn't buy it if you wanted to, because it's just not for sale. And that leads us to the second point I want to make concerning God's bargain, and that is, it's also without price. Friend, remember this. Nothing, absolutely nothing you can pay or do or say could possibly merit this salvation which God is offering to you today. Yes, it's absolutely free. No gimmicks, no box tops, no coupons, no trading stamps, no fine print, nothing of the kind. Friend, salvation is as free as the air you breathe. But listen to me, friend. This bargain for you cost God his only well-beloved Son. Yes, eternal life is freely offered to you today, but only because Jesus Christ has paid the price. Only because God is a God of love and mercy and grace, and only because his Son loved you and I so much that he went all the way to Calvary's cross, and there suffered the just for we the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. Yes, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, friends, over in Romans chapter 3, we read of God's indictment against all mankind, and we read his summation in verse 23 when he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Friend, do you realize that you're a sinner today? And if you do, do you know that God says in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death? Well, friend, it's true. We're all sinners by birth, nature, and practice. And if our sins are not removed through faith in the blood of Christ, we're headed for hell and the ultimate lake of fire. But friend, thank God for his unspeakable gift, The price has been paid. The blood has been shed. And salvation is free today, without money and without price. Now over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, God tells us that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And furthermore, friends, God makes it quite clear in Hebrews 9 and 22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So if there's anyone listening in today who believes that they can buy their place in heaven or purchase eternal life through giving to their church or to the poor, God says it's all in vain. Yes, it's all in vain, my friend, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that faith must be in the precious blood of God's dear Son. That's the reason we read these words in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, and that's the reason why Jesus Christ uttered those most memorable of all words over in John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now then, the third fact I want you to notice concerning God's way of salvation is that it is not only without money and without price, but it is also without working. Yes, it's without working. Now perhaps there are many of you listening in today who honestly believe that the salvation of your soul is dependent upon your so-called good works or trying to keep the golden rule and the Ten Commandments, or perhaps just joining a church or praying or reading your Bible or being a good neighbor. Listen, my friend. Let's make it very clear at the outset today that according to the Word of God, if you're depending upon anything apart from faith in Jesus Christ to take you to God's heaven, then you're sure to be in hell. My friend, I make no apology for the Word of God. And for that reason, I'm not trying to force my own ideas upon you. But rather, let us see what God has to say concerning your so-called good works. In Romans 3 and verse 12, God declares quite clearly that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 20, we read, For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, I know that some of you are saying, Well, surely God approves of me trying to do the best I can, and surely He must be pleased when I try to live a righteous life. Well, friend, let's turn over to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 64 and verse 6, and listen to what God says concerning your efforts to please Him. But ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses, or good works, are as filthy rags. Now then, let's look at a few more scriptures to further prove that works have absolutely nothing to do with securing the gift of eternal life. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of work. Did you hear that? Salvation is the free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Apostle Paul reiterates this fact in Titus 3 and verse 5. For there we read these words, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Again in Romans 4 and verse 5, God says, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Then I think of those words of Paul which he wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. There he says that God hath saved us not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. And finally, my friend, to you who are seeking to gain heaven by trying to keep God's holy law, so-called Ten Commandments, over in Romans 3 and verse 20, God declares, By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then God gives the alternative to the law in the 28th verse of that same Romans chapter 3 when He says, Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Listen, my friends, no one ever reached heaven by their own so-called good works. No one ever reached heaven by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. No one ever reached heaven by rituals or religious ordinances. No, the only way a person can see the kingdom of heaven is to first of all see your need for salvation, then simply accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Yes, my friend, plead nothing but the blood of Christ. And furthermore, let me add this fact. No one will ever be in heaven who didn't first realize that he or she deserved to be in hell. And I don't care who you are or where you are today. If you've never experienced the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit, then you're still unsaved. You've never been born again, and therefore you're still on the broad road that leads to the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Now, I know that some of you don't like to hear about sin or death or hell, but listen, the Bible exhorts every faithful minister of the gospel to preach the word and to buy the truth and sell it not. So that's why I'm here today, friend. I'm seeking with the help of the Holy Spirit of God to point sinners to a saving knowledge of sin forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. And friend, if this were to be my last gospel message, I would bring before you these three most important facts. First, each of us is born with a nature contrary to God and are therefore lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinners. Second, each of us must be born again through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, which alone cleanseth from all sin. And finally, the day of God's grace can be terminated at any time by means of any of the following conditions. First, the Holy Spirit of God may stop striving for your soul. Second, the grim monster death could cut you down at any time. And third, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, and if you're not saved when he comes, you'll be doomed and damned to the flames of eternal torment. So, friend, I realize I'm talking quite plain today, but I want to be faithful to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to know, my friend, that I'm telling you these things in love for your soul. I don't want to see you down to hell, and neither does God. We read in 2 Peter 3 and 9 that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now then, these preceding facts lead us to the next point I want to make concerning eternal life, and that is, it can not only be had without money, without price, and without works, but it can also be had without waiting. Yes, without waiting. Friend, salvation is one bargain which cannot be had on the installment plan, because there's no such thing as growing into grace. Friend, if you were to search the Gospels as well as the Acts of the Apostles, you would find that each instance of conversion or healing was instantaneous. It didn't take a month for the publican in Luke 18 to get saved. It didn't take a week for blind Bartimaeus to receive his sight. It didn't take a day for Zacchaeus to come down out of the tree and accept Christ. It didn't take the Philippian jailer an hour to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, friends, and it didn't take a minute for the repentant thief on the cross to acknowledge Christ as his Lord. And the same is true today for each and every one of you listening in who are still unsaved. You can be born again right now, wherever you are, by simply acknowledging in your heart and before God that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. Repent of your sin, then simply accept the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ as your atonement. And friend, if you'll only take your place as a rebel sinner in God's sight and trust His Son as your Savior today, you'll immediately be saved. You'll be born again, this time into the family of God. And friend, you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already there. But don't delay, my friend, because God's offer of mercy and grace may be withdrawn at any time, and you'll never have another opportunity to enter the gates of heaven. Over in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Did you notice, my friend, God says, come now. Not tomorrow or next week or next year, but now. Again, I think of God's warning over in Hebrews 4 and verse 7. Today, not tomorrow, but today, if ye will hear my voice, harden not your heart. And then we have a warning over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, which even a child can understand. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, don't let the devil rob you of God's day of grace. And don't let him rob you either of God's way of salvation. Because remember, it's without money, it's without price, it's without works, and it's without waiting. I think of that ominous warning given by God in Proverbs 29 and 1. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, the last point I want to make concerning God's gift of eternal life is that it's without worry. That's what I said. It's without worry. Now, the reason I mention that it's without worry is simply because many people are being deluded by the enemy of their soul, the devil, into believing that if they accept Christ as their Savior, they'll have to live a life of gloom and misery. In fact, I'll have to admit that the devil used to tell me the same thing before I got saved. But now that I am saved and know the devil to be the father of lies, it grieves me to see others being blinded by this delusion from the devil. Now, friend, listen. Why worry about being a gloomy Christian? After all, why should you be gloomy when you know your sin's forgiven? And why should you be gloomy when you have eternal life? And how can you be gloomy? And how can you be miserable when you know that someday soon you're going to be in the presence of Him who loved you unto death, even the death of the cross? No, my friend, I wouldn't trade my Christian experiences for all the wealth in the world. Now, another worry the devil brings before the unsaved is the possibility of their not holding out, and therefore running the chance of being lost again. Friend, this is another lie of the devil. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says, "He that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath," H-A-T-H, present tense, "hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Again, in John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus says concerning those who are saved, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Listen, friend, God's word is true. Once saved, if really saved, always saved. And furthermore, wouldn't it be a miserable existence if we had to worry about our standing or lack of standing in Christ? Now, this doesn't mean that salvation is a license to sin, oh no. But on the other hand, we'll never reach perfection until we reach heaven. And if a person is truly born again, he won't have the desire to sin because he'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. No, friend, I'll have to admit that a Christian can't hold out, as they say, but thank God when a sinner accepts Christ as his Savior, he is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and according to 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, we are kept by the almighty power of God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, we read, "I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." Did you get that? Not that you may hope so or presume, but that ye may know that ye have, H-A-V-E, eternal life. Friend, I thank God for that verse of Scripture. Don't you worry about losing your salvation. Don't you worry, my friend, about losing what you don't have. You've got to be saved first. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already walking the street of gold. So don't let the devil use one of his lies and delusions to lead you to believe you can't hold out once you're saved. You don't have to hold out because you'll be in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father God. You don't have to worry about holding him because he'll be holding you. Now, I see my time's about gone, so I'll close with a reminder that if there's a sinner listening in who would like to have eternal life, you can have it today without money, without price, without working, without waiting, and without worry. How? By simply admitting to God that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. Repent of your sin, and then trust His Son, Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, wherever you are and whoever you may be, according to God's Word, which cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence again today at the close of another radio message to ask thy blessing upon the word that has just gone forth. We trust, our God, that thy Holy Spirit even now may be bringing before the unsaved who are listening in, religious though they may be, the fact that they're lost and going down to hell, and that they can only be saved and go on to heaven through faith in the blood of Christ. Save them, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus, you with you waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earthly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me.
Concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now into our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.